strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never reconcile.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andrew.
And this is one of those weeks where I think it's time to be grateful.
Grateful for what, Nick?
Well, as disjointed and odd as this season has been, in researching both the Saints last week and the Suns this week, I was struck by how hard I would find to walk in their shoes. If we'd started the same podcast, which incredibly enough is pushing towards 260 episodes, I'm not sure we would have got anywhere near that mark if we'd started off way back when, doing either a Saints or a Suns podcast. That would have just not felt like any fun whatsoever.
I remember in the 2016 season, just basically in the timeline after the North final, where everything seemed so grim, and that continuation of the 12 months after that, that a lot of people, like, you know, knowledgeable, sensible people on Richmond fan forums who were, you know, deeply dedicated Tiger fans, just saying, I just can't handle it. I can't handle another rebuild. It's been too many. I can't support football anymore. Obviously, that all turned around within 3 weeks of 2017. But you really do feel, Suns fans less so because there aren't any of them. But, you know, the Saints, I mean, that was grim for them.
Mm.
You know, on the upside, you know, as I said before the game, you know, we had a lot to lose and a lot to gain in that game, and there was no guarantee. We'd lost three in a row. Just because we were bookies' favourites and we won the 2017 Premiership didn't mean we were going to beat them. And to wind up, you know, overcoming some of our early fumbles, making a few adjustments, dragging them down from behind. They had a good goal-kicking game, which they almost never do, at least in the first half. And we overcame all that in a stadium we don't play well and got a comfortable win. That's pretty sweet.
That was pretty sweet. Look, there were a number of predictable things about the game that it was so good to have, you know, so many of those guys back. And, you know, even if they weren't quite 100% version of themselves yet, they were at least recognisable copies. That,
you know, just in one foul swoop, our age profile went from a borderline expansion team to a contending team again.
Yeah. The runoff halfback, Jaden Short, you know, running 15 metres and kicking another 55. Shane Edwards.
We're going to talk about him some more.
Shane Edwards' creativity, just Lambert's relentless workload. It was good to have all of those things back. And so, you know, you've got the new old familiar faces back in the team, and, you know, and some of the reliable staples of Stack and Chole as our forward line mainstays.
Exactly. I mean, we all predicted, as I put on Twitter, you know, this was entirely predictable that Chole and Stack were going to be carrying our attack in the second half of this year. And as we said many times on the podcast, it's come true.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing was, at least with Sydney Stack, was, I mean, is there anything he can't do? Like, he just cannot fail. Everything he does just turns to gold.
I know. The first and best goal. What I loved about it was one of the commentators has a little lookout just before he stands on the St Kilda player, because like even in such a short time, you know, people know that magic happens when he's around. It's just great.
It's not mark of the year. But yeah, it was magical.
It was great. I shared.
Before we go off that mark, though, Nick, you know, that first his best goal. Do you remember the lead up play to that?
Yes, goal? I did.
So Mabia Chol contested mark.
Mabia Chol contested mark. We'll talk more about Mabia Chol's marking. Lynch contested mark as well, and that is another indicator that is well on the improved in the last month.
Yes, and then the stack mark, obviously, and the Chol mark was might not be, you know, it was a really good individual effort, but the second two marks were really good structure on play, like putting good players in positions to make plays. I really liked them, and that's very, very replicable and very sustainable.
No, it was good. Is it rude to suggest that, or just to note, that Sydney Stack kicked as many goals in a half of football as Sam Walsh has in 14 games of football?
That was, yes, well, I mean, I'd like Sam Walsh on our team as well, but yes.
I think he's a really good player, but the rising star is a competition.
Yeah, absolutely. He has to have a few quiet games because he's playing. It's not like he's playing in the midfield where, you know, in the midfield you naturally get possessions. He's playing difficult positions to constantly dominate games from. Seriously affect games from. He keeps doing it.
Yeah, it's just great. That he was an accomplished halfback and then seamlessly transitioned to being a dangerous small to mid-sized forward.
But tactically it was interesting, Nick, because you remember we talked about before the game that it would be Edwards who'd go back forward to make the team balance, but we were wrong. It was they put Stack forward, and I think overall you'd have to say, I mean, there was more than this going on, but we had equal inside 50s and, you know, we won relatively easily. There's something to be said for the way our defence is structured up really well. That both the defence and offence structured well.
Yeah, I thought the balance of the team, and particularly given, well, Marvel's not normally a happy hunting ground for our small forwards, and yeah, they didn't make much impact other than Sydney Stack. So
I think we got caught a bit out the back. We were defending too high for a while, and then we started to defend a bit deep, which I think works better at Marvel. Like, we were unusually deeply defending for us, but I think tactically that was the right move. But you know, one thing was when we did break, and especially in the second half when we were doing that old Richmond rebound game. It looked really dynamic, like Stack and Bolton, and we know Shitter's really good at it. These guys are just, you know, they're exciting when they're going towards goal.
Yeah, and some really big, I mean, meters gained is a relatively big new stat, but for context, Jaden Short led the league in just over 500 meters per game. Last year, and on Sunday we had two guys over 700 in Dusty. You know, Dad, I thought Dusty wasn't perfect, and it was
He went at 50% disposal efficiency. That's fair to say.
Yeah, but 712 meters gained is a mammoth number. Six clearances, 36 disposals. It was a good game of football, but I also think it was deserved that Stack was the one who polled best on ground with the coaches.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, Dusty had 10 turnovers, and so, you know, he was active, but Stack was the one that, you know, he was winning a high. Dusty did more, but Stack was winning more of what
and
he did.
I'm encouraged by this version of Dusty as well. I'd rather this version of Dusty where he's covering a ton of ground and the disposal
in the heart of the play.
The heart of the play, getting up and down the ground, just and the disposal's a bit off. Like that's a lot easier. Finding the football is always the hardest.
I'd take that rather than him sulking in the forward line, waiting for the ball to get to him. Although, you know, he did some really nice forward line play, and if he'd stuck one more mark, he would have, you know, he dropped two marks he'd often hit, but would have meant that he'd kick key goals. Back to meters.
What did you think of his setting up Lynch?
Oh, it's gorgeous. I mean, definitely meant to.
Yeah.
Watched it twice. Yeah.
There's definitely a thing going on with Dusty and Lynch, which I appreciate. That he's putting time and effort into his confidence. Yeah, it's nice.
One thing I've noticed is the stiff arm's almost entirely gone.
He had a few against Adelaide, I remember.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I think in that game, he's going... I don't think his stiff arm's as... He's overusing it because of muscle memory of how good it used to be, but I don't think it's as good as he think it is. I want to talk about Short briefly.
Mm.
You mentioned his meters gains, which were outstanding. So at the moment, if you go on Punt Road End, there's an incredibly detailed and anguished debate about Short, about whether or not he's good, rather painful debate about statistics along with it. One particular impassioned person saying statistics are rubbish, unbeknownst to him that statistics actually support the argument he's making. It doesn't matter. So the advanced statistics don't particularly like Short, much like I don't like Hawley. They don't like those halfback distributors. But I'm going to say what I see with my eyes. I see him getting an extra 10, 15 metres on his kicks, on difficult kicks that otherwise wouldn't go that far. I think it makes a real difference to our field positioning. I think the players know how far it's going to go. It makes the game easier to play for them. It means when we're getting a boundary thrown from a clearing kick, the boundary thrown is 15 metres further along. I really think my eye test tells me he's really important to the team. Mm. I like him.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, and the value of as I said, the clearing, the 70-meter possession rather than the 50-meter possession, and I think part of it is the one key forward line that, you know, we're not taking all that many marks from those long kicks as we would when we're playing two talls. The team just looks better.
And I get all the arguments against him, and you know it really pains me to be so supportive of a player who the advanced metrics don't like. But the eye test was really good for me during the game.
Yeah, yeah. I just had as I did the first time that Lambert burst onto a loose ball, I was like, yeah, I've missed that. And I had the same thing when Short climbed up in the back half and kicked long. He wasn't quite in form, but he was pretty close to it.
Yeah, and you know when he got outmarked in the fourth quarter by a key position play, it's forgivable.
Yeah, it happens. Just bad matchups happen. I thought once we sort of, as you said, once we tightened up the defense, it looked like itself. Flossie
was amazing again.
Yeah, looked great. He enjoys Marvel Stadium, even if our small forwards don't.
Well, it makes sense. You know, he's a slightly slower player who reads the play really well. You think? I think playing in a phone but in a smaller ground suits his style.
Mm. Yeah. So you mentioned about Lynch. So Lynch, at his best a couple of years ago, was sort of 2.5, nearly 3 contested marks a game. Lynch, the past 2 years for Gold Coast, at his worst was about 1.5, and he's crept up over 2, headed for 2.5 on current form. I think he's not at the level, he's not at his peak, but I think he's going okay.
He's going okay. He still looks a bit static when the ball's on the ground. But he's played around a lot of different guys. And our forward line's not gelling. I think now's the time. Presumably we actually get a decent run with injury. We're playing MCG a lot. He's got some time to develop some chemistry with his key forwards.
Jack back in a...
I'm not holding my breath.
Oh, it sounded like he was pretty close.
I believe that Jack's going to play a meaningful part in the season when I see it. I'm going to be the doubting Thomas on that one because it's a pretty bad injury that he has. But the two of them together would be interesting. But even then, there's enough things going on in our forward line. I think probably a small under-told story is Josh Caddy is not anywhere near 2018 form.
No, we talked about him last week, yeah.
Last week, yeah.
And I mean, good on him playing 150 games. It's always a bit weird when you're playing your 150th for a third club, but...
Well, he's a life member of this one, so it's all turned out.
Life member and a premiership player, so, yeah. Worry too much. Yeah, but we'd look better if he was in form.
Because even that one goal he kicked was just complete luck.
Yeah, look, he had a few decent touches, but yeah, not.
And so, yeah, the second half was better than the first.
Yeah,
but let's get on positive. Well, we've gone a long way without talking about Marbia and the Rucks in general. So I think. You have to look at this holistically. Like, a few things happened. Firstly, Marshall's an absolute boss. He was the highest.
He did play well. And I think there's something nuts, like he's the highest rated player in the AFL in the last month. It's something stupid like that.
Well, he was the highest rated player in that game. And, you know, Soldo was competent in the rucks around the ground, but basically the plan was that he got about 55% gay time, so he would take start the quarters, bash into him for a little while, and then Chol would get quite a lot of game time around the ground, which you have to say the tactic worked beautifully because we took their best player and we got enough back the other way that... you know, overall, we might have lost the matchup in inverted commas, but Chol did more than enough that helped us win the game.
Yeah, the three goals, you know, one of which was comical, frankly. I was extremely happy with the goal kicking. His intercept marking was the best I've seen it as well, although it was good about a month ago in the VFL at Punt Road. He had a really good last quarter where he sort of pulled down two or three marks in defensive 50 to help save a game, but yeah, he's the best mark amongst our rucks.
Well, what he's good at is when he gets a run in the jump, when he doesn't have to, you know, when he doesn't have to body to body, and coming in from the side, he's really nice. He did benefit early on that beautiful pass to Dusty that Dusty kicked to him. They were, quote, zoning off him. But, you know, you have a choice to position where he was zoned, and clearly none of the St Kilda supporters, players thought he was going to get the ball. So it
is weird to zone off the 200-centimetre guy.
Yeah. There was a distinct lack of respect being paid to him, which they paid for all game, frankly, right up to the last moment. Like, to not bother contesting that right contest was silly, you know, the one I'm talking about, the last one where I kicked the goal. But, yeah, he certainly, I think that's his position, playing sort of ruck and floating forward. Like, that's what I don't think he's going to be centre-half back. I don't think he's going to stand shoulder with a bloke. But let him sort of run and jump and play his own game. Well, you saw, he can be effective.
Can be very effective, yeah. Obviously, the AFL ratings loved him.
Loved him.
Yep.
He still frustrates me all the time. Doesn't jump in the right contests. Ducks his contests sometimes. Ducks his head in marking contests. He is. If he plays 100 games, he's going to have a lot of high highs, a lot of low lows.
Yeah, look, I don't think he's not brave. Like, it takes bravery to go back and take an intercept mark where you don't know what's coming behind him. I just don't think he reads the play in a contest. Which is really disappointing.
I don't think everyone's brave and soft occasionally. You know, even the great ones are. He's not particularly brave for ruckman. He does.
He's not really physical. He doesn't throw his weight around.
Yeah, and there was. I mean, I did actually notice a contest where he ducked. It was a marking contest. He was in the sort of the right in the middle of it. Not really ideal for him, but he did duck his head. When he felt the pressure come from behind. You know, other players do that all the time. I'm not singling him out, but it's sort of, you notice it more when it's the ruckman doing it, partly because they're tall and they stand out more.
He's got the yellow stripe.
He's got the team colours in his hair, which is great. I'm not sure if it's white or yellow, though. Anyway, fantastic game. Good for him. And Soldo was, I thought, just okay.
Just okay, yeah.
Yeah, not terrible,
I do really miss... Nick. I got to say that O'Brien and Marshall, both rookie list players, both, you know, had years on AFL lists before making an impact. And look, you don't know that you've got one of those guys until sort of 3 or 4 years in. But I'm kind of hoping that's the Callum Coleman-Jones template.
Yeah, I can't actually tell why Marshall is so good. You know, he doesn't look very prepossessing, but he just is.
Mm. Yeah, there's a point sometimes the ruck's just the body catches up with the coordination and it all clicks, and sometimes it doesn't. I liked, but didn't love Bolton's game.
I liked it, but I love Bolton full stop. Like, his hands, I think he's got the best hands in the team. You know, sort of, like just compare when him or Jack Graham get tackled or when they're under heavy pressure in the forward line, what happens? Bolton just finds really creative things to do with the football. I'm just in love with him. I don't want him to get dropped again.
No. And the choice of, look at it, it's, you know, Dan Butler, also premiership player. I think we have to trade one of those guys. For a variety of reasons, but probably salary cap pressure being one of them. But yeah, I'd keep Bolton.
I'd be remiss of us to not mention George after his exciting game. You know, Nick, go back when you watch the replay and George drops that mark from Stack. You can literally hear on the replay 20,000 people muttering in the crowd. You know what they're saying, because we've all sat next to those people. We've all been that person who goes on and on about Castagna in a game, and then he goes back and kicks a crucial goal, beautiful goal, beautiful moment. But, you know, my theory is I think actually with sort of he's a good compliment to Bolton and Stack and some of the other guys. He's not like the others. I don't know.
He's definitely not like anything. I thought in the first quarter he was part of what got us going.
Okay, fair enough.
Perhaps not got us going, but sort of when in a team that felt a bit flat-footed at times, he was useful.
It'd be nice. So Rioli had 10, Castagna had 12, and Bolton had 13. It'd be nice if those three combined got more than 35 possessions, I think.
Yes. But if they have 25 disposals between them and kick 5 goals and have 60 pressure acts, I can sort of live with it.
Yeah, but they didn't. They had how many? They had 2.
Yeah. No.
3.
So that's
3.
Yeah, they're not. They're not particularly. Not particularly in form. Yeah, we should talk about that more in the context of the. VFL. Was there anyone else you wanted to mention from the seniors?
No, not especially. I mentioned Noteworthy Prestia was very solid again. Cochran was
50th Richmond game coming up this weekend.
Oh, nice. Cochran was adequate without being a bit disappointing how much he dropped out of the game. I actually thought for a while he got re-injured because he'd been off the screen for so long, but then he did one or two nice things, so let's just hope he gets his fitness back.
I think he was being nursed back in. Prestia's up into the top 50 in the AFL on player ratings.
Oh, he's been there for a while. I'm all over that.
So the rest of the weekend, successful game for the VFL, playing in a rain cloud down at Sandringham, I think it was. Mav Weller, playing to stereotype from a boy from Burnie, was one of our best players. Jack Higgins dropped 26 disposals, 2 goals, 6 clearances. I am not in the slightest bit surprised that he was born to play well at VFL level.
Yeah, but you know me, Nick, I'm always sort of like I have high bars for what's a great performance, and you know, to me that's a par effort, no better. For what I like, as you say, I would expect Jack Higgins to destroy the VFL. But, you know, let's see what he does. I don't think
that sort of state, the player ratings would love that sort of a game.
Yeah, but you'd still, you know, if that was Sammy Lloyd 3 years ago, we would have thought that was probably below par. That was probably a less than average Sammy Lloyd game, and they were probably playing similar positions in the VFL. But, you know, I'm being quite harsh here, but I'm just pointing out.
It was in a rainstorm.
Yeah, but, again, it's conditions that he would be made for. But let's see what he does next week, because I don't think he'll get promoted on that. Or maybe he will. What do you think?
He was close to the best player. I think
we have to drop someone.
Yeah, that's hard. We only didn't play very well.
Person you might drop is Caddy. But I think he's marking. Tanner was okay.
Yep,
Tanner. Three goals.
The egg. Very good off half back. Patrick Nash went back and did exactly what we expect. Bolter played the whole game pretty much at full back. And did okay. I'm interested that they're experimenting with Chole in the second ruck role and giving Bolter a run at key back. You know.
Well, we talked about it last week. My suspicion is they're both best in that second ruck role, but it'll be an interesting experiment over the next few weeks.
Bolter's certainly our best long-term key back prospect if he can turn physical tools into
everything's relative, isn't it?
Yeah. Disappointing. Oh, Riley Collie Dawkins. Only 11 disposals, but listed in the best players.
That was so random. I wondered whether there'd been a typo there. Yeah, they got it right about that. He was in. He did have 11 touches. That's what the Richmond report said. But yeah, I don't know. It's the his match report is running itself every week at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, win more easy ball. It's weird. Yeah, it's such an unusual combination for a player.
Ryan Garthwaite had 9 tackles, so you know.
Yeah. Interestingly, the article, the AFL website published an article on the player tracking data, and Oleg Markov has the fastest sprint speed in the AFL this year, which I was a bit surprised by. I mean, he's a very good athlete, but it was quite a lot better than the next person. Noah Bolter was no mug either, but the two players who cover the most ground in the AFL are Ben Brown and Ryan Garthwaite.
Yeah, well,
that is kind of random.
It is kind of random. Not at the top end of the performance scale on our list, Oleg Markov and Ryan Garthwaite, but hopefully I'll turn it around in the VFL next few weeks. Now, Nick, before we got onto the Suns, we wanted to briefly raised an idea that Daniel Flitton had raised of the Lowy Institute, but also mad Richmond fan and good Twitter follower.
Friend of the podcast,
He had raised, should we bring Lids back? And his theory was, next year he'll be free. He's a lovely mark, good kick for goal. Could he play a forward role?
Is he free? And is he out of contract?
You could get him anyway.
Well, if we got him for free, like, you know, sort of essentially match payments only, so money's not a problem. He has had his moments. It might make, he's at an age where you just never know. Like, I thought Hooley was cooked at the start of the year, and he's been fine, and yet Grigg was cooked. So, yeah, I don't know. The sentimentalist in me would appreciate it, but... Yeah, you never.
Yeah, I think we're all making ourselves want it more because it'd be so sentimentally magnificent after the 2017 preliminary final, the pain of that for Lids, and then to turn it around and Lids to come back and be part of the 2020 premiership run would just be so beautiful. Lids finally gets to play in a good Richmond team,
Lids gets to win a final with Richmond.
Exactly. Yeah. Game plan to be a small forward in the Richmond forward line, you have to bring A-grade pressure, and Lids has never done that and certainly won't be able to do that at his advanced age. I just don't think he's a fit for type anymore.
No, which is a shame. Old age comes as for us all, and you know, he's
I'd love it if it happened.
I'd love it if it happened. Yeah, look, he was a number one draft pick, and I think he didn't disappoint.
Nope.
So to mention quickly, the VFLW travelled up to Bendigo, had another win. I've been tracking how Katie Brennan's been going, because she's very much one of the superstar cohort of the team, and is averaging 24 disposals, and is, you know, Monique Conti is now off playing basketball and being in her second career as an elite basketballer, but she's still very much carrying the midfield. But I quite like Laura Bailey. She's a ex-Bulldogs AFLW player and had three pretty tidy goals this week. And yeah, I think she's a pretty good chance to be on the list come January.
Okay, that's good. Suns.
Yep, we've procrastinated enough. I mentioned I didn't take very much joy in researching the Suns, but look, in terms of skyscraping human beings, both of the present and of the future, they've got some really interesting ones, but not much else.
Yeah, that. I mean, it depends how excited you are about seeing Corey Ellis averaging 20 possessions his last two games, which is nice. But
his only two games.
Yes, he's not going to set the world on fire. And Anthony Miles, who's played 12 games and had averaging 22, and, you know, is being he's, very Anthony.
He's been fine.
He's been Anthony Miles-ish.
Yes. Lockie Weller certainly would have to be on. Is on my list of most overplayed players in the AFL, but he's fine.
Yeah, bottom line is, I mean, they've been a terrible team this year, and they've been a terrible team with a really soft draw.
Yeah.
And
an awesome ruckman.
Yes. Yeah, very good point.
For a 6'10" basketball convert from Sydney, Jared Witts is having a decent career.
Yep. And, you know, as you pointed out to me before, they have got some great great young talent, all of which may flash. And it is, look, to me, it would be a travesty if we lost. We absolutely should not. That they're a bad team. There's no indication that they're going to get that outlier game. But it's Witts. What we, you know, we've lost to them in weird situations before. It could happen.
Look, we all have nasty flashbacks about playing the Suns up in Queensland. Look, a team that's got Jared Witts, Peter Wright, Ben King, all well over 200 centimetres, all of them. They're not going to be particularly well suited to the wet. I do really like among the young guns Jack Lukosius, who's got just enormous work rate for a 195 centimetre guy. But yeah, Alex Sexton is their best goal kicker. And we talked about that last year, about what a depressing sentence that is. We should win.
Absolutely.
And as long as it's not we're not playing in a cyclone, yeah, we should win pretty handily and hopefully get our percentage heading back towards 100.
That would be very handy.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
Celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Nothing going.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
What a pick up from Conjun. Left snap. The goal of the game.
Trent, Jimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all the credit. They've built something fantastic and they just got to keep riding away.
Sometimes.
Martin, three votes.